the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too. Underground Gospel Radio!
Yo! What's going on? What y'all doing? What's going on, man? Yeah, we back in the underground. Yeah. Hey, man, I'm glad to be back in the underground. I'm super excited, man, to have you guys with me on today.
Absolutely.
Glad to be here.
Yes. What's been going on with you guys? What's been going on? How was you guys' weekend? You know, any activities? Anything new?
Yeah, mine was good. I was in Hinesville, Georgia doing a comedy show.
Okay.
Me and the dog, yeah. Then we went to the beach.
Oh. Realized, put your feet in the sand.
My feet in the sand, yeah. And my dog, when he ran, and then the kids stopped playing with him. Then my dog is 9, but he was playing like he was 2. So even today he is exhausted.
Oh wow!
Well, that's good.
It was a good. It was fun. I had a ball.
Yeah. That's always good. Yeah. Fee, what you had going on? What you got going on, girl?
I had a lot going on, but I don't want to talk about it.
That's why we're here. We share.
We share, but not everything. Telling everything.
Right.
Y'all want to know, huh?
You know how people is. They tune in to be
Call
nosy.
Call me. I'll tell you what she said.
People be wanting to be nosy. Be like, what happened? Yeah.
What's under that rap? I'll tell y'all.
Oh, seriously? Okay.
Welcome to the underground, y'all.
Oh, boy.
Y'all see how she looked at me?
Oh, boy. You know.
Oh, man.
Hair's under here.
Yeah.
Fifi says she do not want to talk about it.
Well, if you can talk about it, but if you can take it, then you gonna give it, then can you receive it back?
Y'all tell her. You know, I'm scared. I don't mention a woman.
Listen, let me dial it back. All right, you got it.
Truly the underground. She stomp me on the ground. I ain't crazy. I know my limits. I'm sorry, Fifi. Y'all, it's wavy hair under there. No, she's going to the gym. That's all.
Oh, boy. I love it. Well, I'm glad to be back in the underground. Before we continue, we want everybody to go ahead and click, like, and share.
Right.
We want you guys to go ahead and tune in and listen, man. Get your family, your neighbors, your friends, your uncles, your nephews. Get them all in the building. You know, go ahead and let everybody know that we back in the underground.
We are here.
Yes, we are here. You know, big up in prayer for our boy Heathen. He's not in the building today. Just keep him lifted up in prayer. I know everybody want to know what's going on, but just keep you lifted up in prayer.
So
we want to definitely keep our boy lifted up. And man, make sure y'all click, like, and share, like I said, and go ahead and download the application. Download it, all right? Do it right now. Get on your Apple, Google Play, download the application. And also, we want you guys to go ahead and find us on iHeartRadio, Apple, Pandora.
Wow.
What else out there? I think it's
don't look at me.
All media
outlets.
Yeah, come on.
You will hear us.
I just learned about podcasts.
Yes. Just look up Underground Gospel Radio.
Spotify.
That's right. Yes, we're on Spotify as well. So definitely find us. Look us up. Also on TikTok. Yes, go ahead and look us up on TikTok. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, all the social media outlets. So,
Indeed. Yes,
I just want to get that covered.
Mm.
So now that we got that covered, I'm your boy, Sylvester the Artist. I'm your brother, I'm your nephew, I'm your cousin, but I ain't your daddy.
Hey, y'all, and I'm your girl, Fifi Lovejoy.
I'm Big Win, just because.
Big Win is in the building.
Yeah.
Yes, so we're going to definitely move on because we know that Jesus is
outside.
Yes, because the word is going up and it's going down in here. All right, so listen, now to the topic.
Oh, this is going to be
good. Wow. Woo. Yes. So the topic for this week is personal versus biblical.
Mm.
Yes.
Well,
Yes. So now, you know, personal versus biblical, I think is very vital in this days and time. And this, it's critical even in these moments, even when you're witness, when you're in church, or when you're speaking about God, or speaking, you know, about, you know, you as a person, or even wanting people to know God. Personal versus biblical is definitely something that is, has always been, I think, even being a pastor and being in leadership and being around a lot of, you know, churches and, you know, a lot of pastors and bishops and archbishops and all these names and all these people, they mix personal preferences with biblical principles.
Really?
So, you know, a lot of times you don't you get that mixture, but if you don't know, you won't catch it. If you don't know, you won't catch it, right. And you'll believe what they're saying personally, or their personal stories, is in factual biblical, and which is not true.
And so they be convincing too.
Yes, very convincing.
Yeah.
Well, very convincing.
And it sounds biblical, right?
Right. Oh yeah. Anything that you believe in, you can sell it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Now that's a good one.
Yeah, you can sell it.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. You
so
can sell it. Yeah.
It's a lot, and, and now, you know, even going back with, you know, teaching and preaching the word and giving the word, you'll put in your personal observation, and people will take that as biblical. You know, and not personal, but because we, you know, leaders don't outline, this is my personal opinion, or this is my personal belief, or this is my personal, you know, observation. How can you actually tell the two if you're a good speaker?
Well, right. Paul did it, right?
Yes, he did.
It's like, this is not this is my opinion.
Yeah. Right, right.
You know, like, this is my observation of this.
Right, right. Right.
And so when you do that, like, you know, there's a lot of things Paul said that everybody take it as biblical, as the word of God.
Yes.
And he said, no, this is my personal opinion. And so we make it God breathed.
Yes.
Right. But that's another whole story. But yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Yeah, it's definitely something that, you know, needs to be addressed, or in I want to definitely use it as an encouraging, you know. Encouraging moment, you know, to really be careful, because people can end up believing what you're saying as biblical, and, you know, people can end up following, you know, what you're saying, and then now you've led them astray, or you've led them, you know, in the direction that God didn't intend for them to go.
Exactly. And some people, because of who said it, they take it biblical, even though they know it was personal.
Oh, yeah, you're
people
right.
People who are so enamored by certain preachers or bishops and archbishops.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they know that the bishop spoke of something from a personal level, they make it biblical.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's another problem, because they're not studying for themselves.
Yeah, right, right.
And
right.
They're taking something and say, yeah, you know what? I experienced the same thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So people not knowing themselves.
Yeah.
And when they go read the word, they rather hear it, the same thing from somebody else that they admire, instead of reading the word and getting the understanding for themselves. So it's some people that can't get a personal relationship with God because their biblical understanding is based on someone else that they put in high esteem. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, because that's where I was at. I was like, people don't read. When Cephalus was talking, you know, he was saying about people, the pastor or whoever's speaking, they're influencing people by what they're saying. And it sounds biblical. It sounds like, but that's their personal opinion.
Right. Yes.
But the reason why is what you said. I'm reiterating, because they don't read the word.
They don't read.
They don't know.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So if it's not resting in your heart, then you're holding something that, you know, I don't really know what this is telling me.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as Bishop so-and-so said,
it's confirmed.
Just got confirmation. I've been tarrying a long time with this. No,
wow.
No, read with understanding.
Yes.
And people going crazy. They'd be like, yeah, dog. And they don't even realize they're like just saying yes to a lie. Like, it's not the truth.
Or like you just said, just to a personal view of something.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't going to bring up Jabral. He He had to apologize about it.
Listen, bring it up because I was there. I was there because I was just going to say, you know, give an example with Jamal Bryant. Everybody's saying amen, amen, and then he had to come back and apologize. Right, right. But then you saying amen.
He didn't speak. He didn't say that it wasn't the truth.
Wow.
He didn't have a GoFund. So now you stood at the sacred desk and yelled out, making an example of something.
Yeah.
And to tear down someone. And we just talked the last time about in order for us to get higher ratings, we got to tear somebody down.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Nobody would have known what was preached at that church until he mentioned that.
Wow.
Well, the only reason why he apologized, first of all, he was wrong. And I don't want to go into Kevin Samuels because that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But in terms of being a black woman and what he stood for, and I know a lot of men are like, yeah, he was telling the truth. You know, I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah. Right, right.
Because I feel like there's a way that you celebrate women, and especially women of color coming from a black man.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways that you handle your black women.
Yeah.
And protect us. And so I'm not gonna go there. May he rest in peace. I hope he's in peace.
Yeah.
However, with Jamal Bryant Harrison, am I saying it? Or Jamal Harrison?
Bryant
Harrison. He just regurgitated what he heard. And anybody that is anybody who's in the public eye, or if you have a voice, you should always do your research before you say this is concrete.
Right.
This is evidence.
Right.
Because you didn't even do that. You was just repeating what everybody else was saying and then thought it was okay to say it over a congregation.
Right. Yeah. And it goes to exactly what this is. He took something personal.
Yeah.
And made it. Well, it wasn't biblical, but you're
talking about it during a time when you're standing behind the sacred desk.
Yes.
That was
yes.
my biggest issue.
Yes.
And like you just said, you know, not going back to the guy Kevin Samuels, but he made his money off of his personal opinion of women.
Yeah.
He was liked by some and hated by others. And how do you make money? Liked by some
and you hate
and hated by others.
Yeah.
That's how you make money. So sometimes I actually say to myself, I don't think some people really believe what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Kind of like fake wrestling. It sells out.
Yeah.
It's the best thing to see, but it's so fake.
Yeah.
And people like fake. People like controversy.
Wow.
And it goes back to what we're talking about. When it comes to personal and biblical, the fact is this. The Bible is the Bible.
Yeah.
Now, you can choose what you want to believe in it or twist it and turn it, which you're not supposed to do.
Right.
Yeah. Now you become personal.
Yeah.
Now everything is personal.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That is. Problem. When you even goes beyond with making your preference a matter of salvation. It's really, you know, gotten to that deeper part where making your preference or your, you know, standards a matter of salvation.
Wow.
And that's where people I'm trying to word it right because I don't want to offend nobody and point out a specific person. But, you know, however, you know, when we get inside, you know, a church quotation, we make preference and standards, even a fact of worship. You know, I have to worship the way you think I need to worship in order for me to get to in order for you to accept. You know, my deliverance. You're not delivered unless you do this or unless you're acting this way or unless you cry out or unless you're in tears. And it's a matter of preference that is made a matter of salvation.
Right.
And people are really coming to this matter of like, I got to do this in order to be saved or I got to do this in order to be delivered.
Right.
And people are not being delivered for real because they're pretending and they're putting on a facade and a show in order to get the persons that is the matter of principle, perception, standard, approval.
You're not apostolic or Pentecostal unless you speak it in tongues.
See, there it is.
And they're going to make you speak in tongues.
That's it. And there it is.
And the thing is, you can be silent and learned of the word and never show a manifestation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Other people will la 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 li li li, and they will be the ones put in high esteem.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, I see that as personal.
Yeah.
Because if I feel I know the Holy Ghost is in me, mm-hmm. I shouldn't have to go around other people to speak in tongues.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I shouldn't. Mm. It shouldn't be something that while we're here in this building,
yeah.
you're going to hear me speak in tongues, and from that you'll know.
Wow,
my holiness.
Yeah,
my level of holiness.
Yeah,
that's.
And I grew up in Pentecostal.
Me too. Yeah.
PAW Pentecostal, and so I understand exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me years to unlearn. Unlearn that, because then I seen people speaking in tongue, and then later on I realized, oh, a devil can speak in tongue,
right?
You know, like, because they're speaking right. in another language, right?
Right.
And then you're like, oh, that's demonic, but we be like, oh, that's the Holy Ghost,
right?
And you
right.
got the Holy Ghost, right? The right. Holy Spirit is yeah. the Holy Ghost,
yeah,
right.
yeah.
And but I, you know, I appreciate my upbringing. However, I understand, like, in terms of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means, and you know, to call Jesus, you know,
yeah,
Jesus,
yeah.
Jesus, you know, and then mm-hmm. people spitting and mm-hmm. all of this stuff,
yeah, yeah.
And then it's like, oh yeah, they're delivered right now. Right, they've right, received right, the, right. the Holy Ghost.
Yep,
right.
yep, yep.
And no, that yeah. the how you know that you are spirit filled. There is a change that happens,
there's
and there's an authority.
And yes. people see it.
And people see it.
Wow.
See it.
Wow.
When so I did the conference.
Boldness.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
There's yeah. certain attributes that happens when you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
The reason that, well, you know, Pentecostals and apostolics, the reason why they stuck on speaking in tongues is because, and when the day of Pentecost
exactly.
was fully come.
Right, right, right.
But there was a
in
purpose.
The upper room.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a reason why they stood at that time.
Exactly.
And there was it was so strategic.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, Jesus. Yeah. Yes.
But
he did the reason why he made them speak in tongue at that time, because everybody was gathered wait. In that time for Jubilee, right?
Mm-hmm.
To come in everybody from all over.
All over.
Yes, yes.
So he had them speaking in their the language.
And where Jesus. Were the people?
Yes, God.
Wait a minute, I have to
Yeah. Because you about yes. to take me there.
Yes, God.
Go
yes.
ahead, go
but
ahead.
But the key to exactly what you said was, I got chill bumps. They
me
are
too.
In an upper room. You got people inside of a small area speaking in unknown tongues, yelling at people outside. Man, that's a fact.
Look at that. Look at that.
Outside.
Outside.
So what happens when you hear your tongue while you're outside? You respond.
You listen.
You respond.
And that bro, listen. Is. Listen, I'm not gonna throw this at you, big one, because that's. But I feel like
listen.
We just high five.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I feel the presence of God. Yes. Because
exactly.
If we understand
if
that,
yes. we can teach it constantly.
Oh my God,
that is a problem. I'm almost about to tear up because
yes.
it's a problem
too,
with like, me because you won't geez. Let me teach it.
You won't. Wow.
That's
wow.
It's almost like here, teach, but don't teach that. Here, help. But don't help this one. It's almost as if you're riding around in the ambulance with everything that
ooh.
You need.
Oh my goodness!
But they're telling me don't stop with that. Don't stop with that.
Oh
there.
Jesus!
Don't. And it's knowing that
help
if
us.
We could sit here and say they did this, they did this, they did this. Why did that happen?
My God!
But when you see, we're traveling together. If it was me preaching into you and I traveling together, and unknowingly we don't speak the same language,
right?
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
we're tired, we're hot, we're tired, we're hot, we're tired, and we get to a place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hey, yeah. Where I hear my tongue,
woo, Jesus,
and you see me react, and you don't know why I'm reacting that way. We didn't walk miles. Now you hear your tongue.
My God.
So you start shouting. Now, I don't know why you shouted, because I don't know your tongue.
Jesus.
But what happened is, without knowing it, we done walked all this time. Now we touching
and agreeing. Now we touching and agreeing. Oh, Jesus, because of...
We done had the same tongue. Hey, we
Jesus.
Done walk, we done talk, we were hungry. I walked with you because I didn't want you walk alone.
Jesus.
Hey!
I didn't know your spirit.
But while I'm walking, we
Jesus.
Get to a place and we see some carries on.
Oh, my Lord.
And then they say something that I recognize. and hits my spirit.
Yes.
You look to me like, what's wrong with this man I've been walking with and helping and da 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 da. Now you hear it.
Wow, wow.
And it goes all the way down the road.
My God.
We can't, why can't we teach that anymore?
Oh my Jesus.
I don't, why can't we tell people
when we start, then the gospel will be preached to the four corners of the earth.
Yes.
But
yes.
The reason why it's stagnated is because what you're saying, because they will not let you.
They will not
quote
let
unquote
you.
Teach it.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Wow. That's the spirit of Antichrist.
Yes, right.
It because is. The bottom line is no one needed to walk up to neither one of us in this scenario.
Yes.
And lay hands.
And lay hands. You better say that again.
When they heard it.
But they
I just ran. And all I got to do is hear it.
And then they was like, wait a minute. We just heard you speaking the great things of the Lord in my language.
Right.
Like, tell us, what must we do?
Right.
Now they come into you like, what must we do
to
be my saved? Goodness.
Right.
And then that's when Pete.
Because before that, we heard rumors.
Oh, my goodness.
We heard rumors.
Y'all, this
right.
Jesus. Now that it's not rumor, because wait a minute, I believe the rumors. Yeah, just like many of us, I believe the rumors. So now I'm walking we minding our business. Now, the rumors are a lie, and I'm hearing the truth. I'm looking at you. You ain't heard the truth yet. Then boom, it's in your language. You heard the truth, so we gonna react differently.
And when you hear it in your language, there is nothing else that can deter you from the truth.
Yes.
Because you're like, wait a minute.
Yes. Yes.
How do you speak it? How do you speak Hebrew?
Right.
How
do
you
speaking
in Greek?
Right.
How
my
you
God.
Speaking in,
my
you know,
God.
Whatever, you know, they gave all the different tongues. Mm-hmm. But they're like, well, you're speaking in my language?
My language.
My language.
And I know who you are. You a Jew.
Right.
Wow.
So you came for me.
Wow.
You came for me.
Wow.
We can't teach it.
I want to know this. So, I actually know, but I just want to pose the question. for real, for everyone who's listening about speaking in tongue,
mm-hmm.
about why do we speak in tongue? The reason why I'm saying this is because we was talking about Acts chapter 2, and there was a reason for the tongue to come, but it was an actual language. It was an actual language, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't gibberish.
No.
I want to tell you guys that.
It's not gibberish at all.
And everybody's speaking, thus say the Lord, Rabba Sham Rabba. And we all know how to say it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
That's not, thus saith the Lord.
Right.
Speak on it. Yes.
Somebody else is in there. I remember this was a pastor. He was speaking. The reason why I'm saying this is because, oh my goodness. All right. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Mm. He said he was doing ministry. He was doing a church plan. He was in California. And he went, after church, he would always stop and get him a snack, you know, when he would, after church. So he stopped in and he said the power of God was in there in the church so strong. And so he said he was in there trying to get him some chips and soda. But then he said something in the tongue and he caught himself.
Right.
And he said when he got up to the counter to check out his stuff, he said the man was just staring at him. And he said, what did you just say? He was just like, this man, he was Indian, but it was, you know, they have different dialects.
Exactly.
So he said, he spoke what the Lord is good in his language.
Oh, my goodness.
And that man said, anytime you come in here, I don't know who your God is, but I believe.
Yeah.
And he said, anytime you come in, you don't have to pay for a thing going forth.
See?
Because he spoke in his language.
And the one speaking it didn't know it.
Because he needed, the man needed
so
help.
So there was
needed,
an interpreter.
Wow.
There was an interpreter.
Woo!
There was an interpreter.
See, the issue is there got to be three things in this.
Wow.
The speaker, the interpreter, and the one that needed to hear it.
Yes!
Yes!
Many
yes! Yes! Yes!
But
the problem is when we're speaking, people all want to be the speaker. And then people want real deep want to be the interpreter.
Interpreter.
But nobody want to hear the
nobody
message.
Nobody want to hear. Wow. Wow.
Nobody want to hear the message.
That is such an amazing. Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we in there. We hear others speak. And they in the tongue. So we feel some kind of way because we not.
And then you try to make up something.
And you make up
something. Because you're feeling left out.
And then sometimes, I remember when my mom passed, I was crying so hard. I don't know if I was mumbling or speaking in tongues, but I no one was there. So you can't say speaking in tongues, but I think I just lost myself. And you got to realize there's a losing yourself in prayer, yeah, and there's speaking in tongues. Because to me, why would I
speak? Praying in the spirit.
Praying in the spirit.
It's a nun, it's like an mm-hmm. angel tongue. It's a exactly. different. Exactly. Yeah.
It's almost like a weeping.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, some want to be known as the speaker tongue. And that's making your salvation. You elevate the personal part of your salvation.
Yep, personal part. That's
then
right.
Your biblical, you know, yes. your carnal in your spirit.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
your problem.
Yeah. I think, you know, yeah. and I really truly yeah. believe we've made connecting, you know, with people. And I love the analogy that you gave where we, mm-hmm. you know, you talk and you don't know why you're next to the next person.
Right, right.
But you know you don't want them to be by themselves.
Right, right.
And the fact mm-hmm. that we could speak a different language and but also connect spiritually, that's a powerful right. thing. But we're missing that right. connection.
Right, we're missing
because that. We're caught up in personal.
Right, right.
We're caught up, we got all these feelings and emotions. We got right. all these observations. We got all these, you know, opinions. We got so many different things that yeah. really, really separate us.
It separates.
It separates us.
And it's purposeful.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It yeah. separates right. us. And we can't, you know, and that goes into even with worshiping next to someone. If I'm not worshiping like you, then my worship ain't for real.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if I'm not worshiping the way you, mm-hmm. your approval, I'm not, mm-hmm. my worship ain't
yeah.
for real.
Yeah.
If, you know.
How y'all sit down on God?
Sit down on God. No, maybe I'm here receiving.
Yeah, that's my personality.
And the highest, you said this earlier, but the highest form, I believe, according to the scripture, mm-hmm. biblically,
yes.
So, you know, in Revelation, it says there was silence
yeah.
in heaven for a space of about a half an hour.
Right.
I believe that's the highest form of worship.
I think sometimes sitting still is it and is, listening.
Why was there space?
Why was there space? Exactly. Why
silence.
Was there silence? Silence.
And it was just nothing there. Well, it was something there, but it was not. Well,
yeah.
It was silence for about a half an hour. What was going on in that silence?
The best worship right? you can get is in silence.
It's in silence.
You can hear in God silence. And you can talk in your spirit. Listen, yeah. listen.
Yeah. That's just got its free.
But in the settings,
mm-hmm.
we have to make so much noise, and we have to be theatrical, and
right, right.
you know, we have to be so dramatic,
right.
and we have to be so, you know, enthusiastic, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
and so. But God is asking and telling silence.
Silence. They sent the women to the wailing wall.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Just lean your forehead. Just leave a note in the crack. Just
oh my Lord.
You don't need to talk. Just get there.
Just get there.
Sometimes he just wants you to get to a place.
Mm.
Hush your mouth and let him talk.
Just let him talk.
Everybody walkie talkie in God.
Yeah. My God.
Over.
And
over.
There's no yeah. so prayer is communication, it's dialogue.
Yes.
And in that silence, you're supposed to be hearing what the Father is saying to you. But we just want to over thus Father God in the name of Jesus, I come before you because I'm you know.
Right.
You know, and you're
right.
like, whoa.
Right.
Why don't people in the beginning, if they ask you to get them pray, mm-hmm. I always say, okay, let us be silent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna tell you why. Because no matter what. No matter where you're, if you're in church,
oh my God,
and it's time for the next person.
Yeah.
Now, I'm the next person. Now you just finish her in the choir or the announcements.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to pray. So you got some things on your mind,
yes.
from the announcement or the song or the person next. You give me a piece of gum, give me candy.
Mm.
So before you pray, you need to do your best to clear your head.
Clear your head. That's right.
Because why would you talk from the natural to the supernatural
Lord.
With other stuff already in your head?
Oh, boy. Oh boy.
Now, I could take it there another direction, but I'm going to leave it alone. I want to hear what she has to say. Because sometimes people want to go from this point to that point.
Yeah.
Without a pause. That don't work.
Mmm. Mmm.
it don't work. You can't get all of it.
No, no.
You gotta stop first.
I love when Fifi grinds. What's going on, Fifi?
Yeah.
So it's about the silence. So it's so funny because you was talking about prayer. And so it just reminded me of, so when you're, you know, in, as a body of Christ, you know, I put myself out there to just visit different congregations, black churches, white churches, Latino churches, you know, like just to see how people express themselves in worship.
Yeah.
And me being a musician and worship leader, you know, like to me, that's that was important for me to understand. And being in a multicultural, leading worship in a multicultural congregation, we don't all respond the same. And so I know how, you know, black people, we like, you need to flip, skip, jump, holler.
Yeah, yeah.
Strip, do whatever you need to do to get God's attention. And so I learned something when I was with my white brothers and sisters. No, that sounds so funny. But they were, before they pray, they're silent. You know, this specific congregation, because there's some white folk like us.
They'd be going in.
So, you know, I'm talking about this specific congregation. They were sitting around and it was just, before they began to pray, they were silent.
Yeah.
And so anyway, when I first did that, I was like, okay, you know, what's going on?
Yeah.
But then I just, you know, hushed, you know, to see what was going on. Then I noticed, they're waiting to hear what the Spirit is saying. And then guess what? The Lord, in the group, the Lord began to reveal stuff to pray for my brother about this, to pray for my other brother, to pray for my sister about this.
Wow.
Because they had a need.
And sometimes in that silence, right before prayer, that's what you might hear someone whimper.
Yes.
Or you might hear them say a name that they want you to pray. Sometimes just slow down. So I mean, really, before you, it's like at home. You can't go right from work straight to the kitchen and pull out a pot and pull out a pan.
Yeah.
You got to sit still. I mean silent. Don't sit, turn TV on, just silent.
Just sit.
It don't have to be on the toilet, just sit. Anyway,
right.
Just sit still, and then you can go, because while you're cooking, if you went right to it, you still got your problem that you rush from.
That's right.
So how can you go from, you know, praise and worship and y'all and gossip because a person sang off key? Now you can't go into prayer.
And you know what? Ministering, and especially in when you're about to minister, and you know you was back there in the back, in the overflow room.
Yeah.
Somebody cuss you out, or you know, someone rub you the wrong way.
Right.
And then you go put the face on, and then you're like, oh, now we're going to talk about the goodness of the Lord. We cannot do that. We need to get straight what we need to get straight.
Yeah.
Because that's how the real presence of the Lord come in.
That's right.
Because I just won my brother. He just won his sister back. We just won each other.
That's right.
You know,
right.
So we're not going in there with the offense, the spirit of offense, because that's when the spirit of offense come. You didn't deal with what you need to deal with.
Wow.
That is healthy way. Yeah. And how we should deal with
that's
stuff.
That's a healthy way. Kind of like when you see the preachers, when they know they're going to be the preacher that's in the center chair, they walk up, they're the only ones kneel down and pray. I know they ain't praying.
You say it looks good.
Oh, man, it looks
good. It's so pious, don't it? It looks so anointed and holy.
Go down a certain way. It's no different from a baseball player just every so often hitting their cleats
before they go
to the bat. But because you was in the dugout just now.
Yep.
So why are you
come out here to hit your cleat?
You don't have no dirt on. It's a symbol that I'm going to hit the dirt off my feet. You don't have none.
What you say? It's a symbol.
He talking about pride.
Yes, he all up in that.
He low-key talking about pride.
He all up in that thing, boy.
Yeah. It's we expect it.
Yeah, but we
see it, and we're not even saying, wait a minute, that's not practical. It's not even, that don't even make sense.
It's not biblical.
It's not biblical.
It's personal.
You better say that. Yeah, it is. It's not biblical.
It's not.
Wow.
My goodness.
And I think that's such an amazing analogy. Y'all, man, listen, y'all learning today. I've been getting chilled.
Me too.
But listen, like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah, me too.
And I think, you know, because the world, because and the reason I think, you know, and I believe is because the world has become so visual.
Yeah.
The world has become so visual. So if I can't see your expression, or if I can't see your reaction, then it's not real. Yeah. Or if I can't see, you know, the actual presence or your change. That's just like if you say, hey, I've changed. Well, I don't see it.
I don't see it. And the I is not God speaking.
It's not God speaking.
It's because it's your own. How you were changed.
Right.
But I'm not you.
Exactly. I don't change the way you change.
Exactly. Right. I'm not going to respond the way you respond. So you can't try to project your way of holiness on me. This is my place. This is how I was sanctified. So you just because you wearing white every day and walking barefooted, the Holy Ghost didn't say I'm supposed to be doing that.
I know multi.
You know what I'm saying?
You better say it.
We got multi-millionaires. They dress this way, and you got billionaires dressed this way. Why does the billionaires dress more modest than the millionaires?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So who should dress like what? That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. But you know what?
You ain't no church girl. You should be wearing this.
But you know what? That's what you're exhausting your witness when you do that, because then now your witness or who you're witnessing to will be exhausted because they want your approval.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're looking for every time you come around, I have to be a certain way.
Yeah.
Because now you've pushed your preference and standard off on people that don't really know God and that needs to be introduced to God. And now they become prone to your standards and what they've been taught. Because guess what? We all said that this is how I've been taught.
Yeah.
This is how I've been raised.
But
this
is how I. Right.
That doesn't mean it's right. And that's the point, that it doesn't mean that it's right, because then now how I've been raised, I'm now pushing off on
someone else.
Someone else.
But I'm going to tell you something that's very sensitive to other people. And part of my dissertation for my doctrine was the relativity of relationship.
Mm.
And the problem is when you just said we want to follow someone else. Our spiritual relationship with God stems from our relative relationship with our families. If I am a man seeking attention from my mother who did not feed me what I need, then now I'm going to go into the church. Now I'm going to tell y'all my dissertation.
Please.
Now I'm going to go into the church
and
I'm going to get whatever mother that I have put in high esteem. However she say I should dress as a young man, that's how I'm going to dress as a young man. Whatever she says I should do as a young man, she can even teach me in the church what woman to go date, and I'm going to do what she says.
Lord.
Because I have a relative relationship with a person. Now I found one because I didn't have one with my mother, so I found a church mother.
Oh my goodness.
You understand what I'm going?
Of course.
So now I'm going to be that son to this mother of the church and do whatever. Now, if this mother of the church want me to rise up to be the bishop, I'm going to rise up to be the bishop. Come on here, somebody. Now that I've rose up to be the bishop, because I did not have a relative relationship with my birth mother, and I
come on, man,
a mother. This mother from the church passed away, so guess what?
I'm come a bishop on now. Now
with no respect for women.
Come on. Listen.
Let me, now you know what?
The way he, listen, but that's truth though.
I'm giving you truth because what happens is it starts.
Bro.
Wow.
But didn't it seem like he had mad respect for her and honor?
Yes, it looked like it.
You better.
Oh my goodness.
Well, you have. I know you got it. I know you have a great, because you have your doctorate, so you already know you.
But my that point was is, but my point is, everything that we're
goodness.
Talking about in here that we went through, listen, how can I can help a man? I had a great mom, great dad, but I wasn't raised in a church, but I'm running into people that want me to preach to them. But dude, you have issues from home. So let's not have spiritual conversations first. Let's have home conversations.
Listen.
And home conversations happen where?
Outside.
Let me pull you aside. Let's talk.
Wow. Wow.
So when you're, this all ties in your dissertation. Yeah. From personal to biblical.
Yes.
Because your how you were reared, it influences how you interact with other people.
Yes. Other people. Mm-hmm.
And your belief system. Right.
Let me tell you something.
Through the formative years, because you're and then you come in church.
Mm-hmm. The relationship between your mother, your father, your siblings, where you are you the third child, your fourth child, you the spoiled child. You're going to take that until your formative years, and then if you were the oldest, you might be the fighter. If you were the youngest, you're the spoiled one. You expect things. If you so and so.
Wow.
Your sexual identity.
Wow.
Will also be equated by your relationship with your dad.
I'm glad you spoke on the sexual identity, because we don't want to talk about that.
On your dad.
Hey. Yeah.
Because your dad is the one that makes you say, do you want to be just like him or be him?
Mm.
And I think it's when opposite. We say sexual, it's just really identity.
Right.
Yes.
Because
of course.
Well,
your sexual identity become before you know you want to have sex.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, but we
let people know that.
Yes. Because we do focus on he twitching and stuff, and she manly, you know. But she's trying to identify. She don't know her identity. No, he does not know his true identity.
Right. And and sometimes when she's not twitching, it's because she's watching someone else. Dad that she loves. So now you're gonna call her a butch. By daddy. She ain't no butch.
Wow. And she loves, so, and no one was able to, you know, just kind of show her.
She didn't
women, you know, because she was around mostly men.
Right.
But it is everything is in identity.
Exactly.
And this touched me so much about relational things and how it affects us. It impacts how we respond in church. Mm. Because, you know, and then there's a pastor up there who is broken.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my Lord.
When you say
Jesus,
broken,
Jesus.
If the pastor was able, male, female, experienced, not, if they were able to tell you their pain, you would cry. Pastors are the most hurt people. And understand, pastoring is a position.
That's right.
Yeah. Not a call.
Mm. Mm.
It's a position and not a call. This is a position you can walk away from.
I don't agree with that.
Position. You're hired.
No.
Yeah.
In terms of, you said call. Mm-hmm. So he did, in terms of fivefold, I believe it is a place where the Lord Jesus, he said he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, right? He gave some pastors, teachers, and then what? No, evangelists and then teachers.
Teachers,
right.
Yes.
You know, so I do believe it is a call. However, it is not, you're not above all the rest of them. You know, like you're not, and we put pastors in a place where they're like, Superman or Superwoman, and they're like everything falls on them, and they put themselves in that position. So I'm not sure about that so much. I mean, we can agree to disagree.
No, a pastor's job is when you have your church that's formed, and your pastor is the one that makes the final decision. That's a business position.
Oh, are you talking about biblical?
Biblical,
are you talking
about
what? From what standpoint are you talking about?
From a standpoint of, like you said, evangelists, all the other ones
from the fivefold ministry.
Yes, they're the ones that go out, and the pastor is the one that will. If you have a tabernacle, if you have this cathedral, that's who runs that particular flock.
Okay, I agree with that. So, what was your meaning by
that's a position. They're called to preach. They could be an evangelist.
Yes.
They could be this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a position.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And they take on this. Okay, I'm a police officer, but now I'm the sheriff.
Okay.
So I see what you're saying.
But I have a position and people under me.
Okay, I understand.
I got you. Because I was confused a little bit too. I wanted to hear you out.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
you're
before
called
saying
as a minister,
yes,
or whatever. But you can.
So the calling is different from your position.
Right. just like anything.
Yeah.
This is the first time you heard it?
Well, how you presented
well, how
it.
You put, yeah, yeah, I was
how
a
you presented
like,
it oh,
yeah.
Is different than how I actually heard it.
You just used the position part.
Right,
I was just
right.
like,
you're,
yeah.
You're the
you said
person.
It's a position, not a call.
Not a call.
So, yeah, so, that's why I was
yeah,
like,
yeah,
I was
yeah.
like, mm.
So I was
yeah,
like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So if someone walks up to you and say, you know, God just called me to pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
He called you to ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've moved or elevated and you were hired to be a pastor.
So I see it from that standpoint as far as it being a position,
you
know, yeah. but you know,
because you can get fired,
right? Right.
You just fired the pastor,
right? But he did not fire the call, though.
No,
he can't fire
the
call.
That's
no,
no. Yeah, you, yeah.
Well, because I was gonna say yeah, because I was gonna say now. You can call it because me being a, you know, a pastor, I was a pastor of the church,
right.
but however, I can't escape because look at what I'm doing now,
right,
where
right.
I still have a, you know, outlet
right.
to, you know, do what, you
right.
know, do it because then now I was called to do.
Wait. But you're still doing your call as a pastor. No one hired you.
Hired me, exactly.
Like a hireling shepherd
yeah.
to do you. So if you say, I'm pastor so-and-so, what's the first thing the world's going to say? Who are your members? Where's your church?
Yeah, I understand you now. And then when, and they will look at you in a different plate if you don't have like people under you.
Right, right.
They'll be like, oh, you're not a pastor.
Right.
You know,
because what they know is a pastor has people that are their members.
Mm-hmm,
and a pastor
mm-hmm.
must have a deacon.
Yeah.
A pastor.
Yeah.
You're going from, so that is like governments that was set up from not a biblical place.
I agree.
And it just confuses every single thing. In the
I
body,
so agree.
See, and that's
I
where
so
that,
agree with you.
That's where it's personal versus
that's
biblical,
yes. yeah,
and how we're setting how things are being set up.
Right.
That is not biblical.
My goodness.
And the cliques are separated by. You could be a minister. That's a minister, but you're young. You're small because you're not a pastor. So
wow.
an evangelist,
right?
Wow.
And here's another thing. If you're a bishop, that means you have other elders and other ministers who are pastors under you, and so are their churches.
Wow.
But what do we get? So bishops are not like part of the fivefold. So I
mean, not the way they're doing it now.
No, I'm just saying, like,
yeah, no.
So a bishop, you have an overseer. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, it's confusing now.
And
it turned into personal.
And it turned into personal. And
that's, I just decided to leave my opinion out right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I want to say certain things too, because I've seen some things and.
No, right. You have.
Yeah. It's not right.
No.
It's not right.
No,
and
I left the church as soon as they joined the big clique and
yeah, it's and I
the
would
tithes say, goes to this one, he's the head, and then all these other bishops.
Bro,
it's
listen,
it's,
you have, and I know you know.
Yeah, yeah,
I've seen some crazy and I can say wicked
yeah.
things that people don't have. I wouldn't even they and you would question, do they have a conscience? Not even an actual, you know, listen,
I know,
because it's disturbing.
It's hard to be politically correct and not scared of the truth at the same time.
Listen,
that's my problem.
Listen, because it
I
it's,
hope you this, stay the same.
Yes, I really do too.
I can't change. And again, we go back to, that's why I'm not welcome in every pulpit. But the issue is, once we start seeing as a people, and I'm saying black people, because white churches have always grown. Because they love reputation and neighborhood. Their churches will always grow. They will always put money in their church. They don't care who the leader is, because they believe in reputation and neighborhood. We are the total opposite.
Total opposite.
We believe
self.
In power, self,
self.
And self. We don't care about neighborhood.
Well, it's systemic, right? But we have to heal those areas. The reason why we think the way we do. And I'm not excusing it, but I'm saying there needs to be healing in the African American community as a whole.
Yes.
In terms of how we view ourselves and mm-hmm. how we understand power. Because once you were oppressed, you do not become the oppressor.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
You know, and, right. and that's right. what you see going
right.
on.
Right. right.
And it's disheartening, but there's a remnant. There's a remnant. mm-hmm. There's a remnant that has come out among them. But it is small, and it's like, that's why I was encouraging, do not alter what your words are. Don't say, oh, I'm not going to say this to be politically correct. I know you was mm-hmm. joking. But the reason why we need men of God, women of God, to stand and speak mm-hmm. the truth mm-hmm. biblically mm-hmm. to put things back in order, because it's been so jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all different facets of this. So it's like there's people that believe that this is the white man religion, if you're, mm-hmm. you know, and all this mm-hmm. foolishness. But I'm like, no, you need to go back to the original text in Ethiopia if you want to go back and find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, find out what really happened there. They were followers of the one true God, right. Yahweh.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
this was yeah. before slavery.
Right. And no one's going, in churches I've been, they don't even want nobody to say Yahweh.
Yahweh,
because they sound like, because it sounds like. No, I'm dead serious.
I know.
Because it sounds like you're talking about another religion.
Another religion.
Other
yep.
guys dressed a I different
know.
Way. But
I know.
You know, I never forget. In college, this cab driver picked me up, and his cab smelled like incense, and he was talking about Yahweh.
Okay.
And the way he broke it down, by the time I got out of the car, and I had just got saved, it was uh-huh. made funny. I got out, we were on Church Street, and he said, and I said, wait a minute. And so Reverend Ross, who was someone I've really, really respected at mm-hmm. A&T, and I talked to him about it, he said, well, just take the word Yahweh and Jesus and you. And mm-hmm. every time that dude mentioned Yahweh, put you in it, put Jesus in it, and keep Yahweh. After he said that to me, you know, I graduated from college,
mm-hmm.
for some reason, I can't remember what I was looking at or reading, the guys who were standing loudly talking about Yahweh in Baltimore.
I understand.
It had a negative look.
Exactly.
But it was the truth.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
it made me not say Yahweh.
Because they were so militant. And I know that's what you're talking about.
Yeah,
they,
yeah, yeah.
they were militant.
But they were right.
just... Yeah, but
they were right.
How they was
they
talking about women. There was some other stuff. Well, right, certain yeah. things.
Okay.
But when you say their diet and everything, yes, they yeah. was like telling you that you're yeah. Hebrew people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and
yeah.
this is where you came from.
Right,
this is
right,
the reason why.
Right.
So I know exactly what you're saying.
So I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
But it still doesn't make it that they're wrong. It goes back to my personal feeling.
Personal, yeah.
Should I yeah. wear a shawl and let my hair grow or blah, blah, blah? But this guy was, to me, Rastafarian. But it was the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
I loved the truth.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it made sense to me.
Yeah.
And I don't think the cab driver was being personal, but it kind of bugged me out because, you know, I was a young 20-year-old. I didn't look like I loved Jesus. You know that yeah, look, that yeah. churchy boy?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like... Why are you talking about the Lord? Why he cussing? How come he not? I was just wondering
mm-hmm.
in that long ride, why was he saying that? Was
yeah.
he trying to convert me or whatever the case might be? But I learned.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't do that.
Jesus, because we're not like Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, some yeah. of us are. Yeah. We're striving to be like that. But what, yeah. what did Jesus do? He sat and he talked with people who were not like him.
Like him. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
reason why he did that was to learn, to hear what they were mm-hmm. saying. Okay, well, what's the differences? The religious sect, you know, like the Sanhedrin, the priests, and stuff, they would not go and talk to common folk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They would not.
Yeah.
They couldn't even be touched by a prostitute or
yeah.
anything because they would be unclean.
Yeah.
But you know, but Jesus did that.
But Jesus yeah. did that.
And why, yeah.
And now, in a sense, when you get saved, you adapt that.
But that's a problem.
That is an issue.
Again, I'm beyond 19.
Adapted.
Just getting into church at 20. So I done saw some stuff I want to keep doing. Some sins I want to keep doing. Now, you got to teach me some others. Tell me why I'm baptized. Why do we baptize? Tell me why this don't wear this. Tell me why women can't wear this. You got to teach me more. Teach me more than follow behind what this man said.
Because I'm going to ask more. Questions.
Me too.
And I know you're going to say what.
You're going to be mad.
You can't be. Yeah. I'm not just going to blindly follow you. I'm like, okay, what that mean again?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I've been like that since a kid. Yeah. Like, right. Yeah. Okay, right. What do you mean by this?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's.
No, don't worry about it. It's it. Right, this is what Jesus said.
This
the
grown
end.
Folk business.
Right. Stay out of it. I'm like, wait, I'm trying to understand.
Right. Right.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. 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 This is what this. But this is what. Now, speaking from before you got saved and know Christ, and I've always, you know, I put myself in those shoes, you know, and when I come. Or anyone, when you come to a person that don't know Christ or wanting to change, or that don't know how to change, or any type of situation, they want Jesus. But you push this personal opinion, standard, preference, and you make your preference doctrine.
Your preference doctrine.
Yes. You make that. Yes. You put all that in on someone that is just wanting Jesus. Yes. That's the issue I have. And that's the reason for this topic is to, I want to definitely encourage believers.
Yeah.
Believers to be mindful and careful that, you know, when people are wanting Jesus and if you have Jesus for real, give them that, because now personal versus biblical has now meshed, you know, and now people can't tell whether, like we said earlier, you need to read your word and you need to be able to, you know what's word and what's personal, you know, and we all here know, you know, how, and just like Fifi said, well, I don't know about that, but that's a conversation that needs to be
always
had.
Always bring about a conversation.
Exactly.
You should be able to
you should be able to do that.
Exactly. She said, don't be harsh. No, harsh is good. but here's my question. When you walk, you said that you go up to a person that want Jesus. What if we walk up to a person and the Spirit is telling you to go to them, and you don't know if they already know Jesus? Do you walk to them in a personal way or a biblical way? How do you approach them? If you were somewhere and the Spirit is talking to you, that brother needs someone to talk to him.
I could see where you're going. And I think, and I believe you would definitely want to, you know, approach them personally and then, you know, go into, you know, your witness biblically, because you have to be able to relate, because you have to be, and just like we were speaking with languages, we have to be able to, you know, relate with, you know, that person or that individual, because then if you approach them biblically without them understanding how, you know, and what and when, and they're going to be looking at you like, what is you talking about? But you would have to be able to approach them in a personal manner, however, you know, you can relate, because all of us have a past and all of us have a testimony.
Right. You see, I'm such the opposite.
And I, you know, no, I love the way that was brought about, because it's, but that's where the silence comes first, right?
You have to be.
So, like an example of Jesus at the well with the woman.
Did
he say anything to her at first?
No, he didn't.
He didn't say anything. He didn't say one word to her at first.
No. Wow.
And then he just started doing something, and she told him, oh,
yeah.
Sir, what you doing? You
Right. You know who you are?
You know,
you know who I am.
How you want something to drink? You ain't even got nothing. She was, you know, she was feisty, and she was
right.
But he knew.
And why you want it from me? You know who I am.
Yeah, and so he started to talk to her.
Right. He provoked her.
Yes, he did intentionally, because he wanted to bring out the truth.
True. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And because there was a ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There was an outcome that he was trying to get to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He on, knew her heart.
There. Yes.
He knew her intent.
He knew her intent.
Jesus.
Yes.
Even though she was a hoe.
Right. He knew.
He knew her true intent.
Right. Same with the woman that got caught in adultery. Stoner.
They was like, he and Jesus. And
he started
like,
dueling.
Yeah.
And he started dueling, took a stick and started dueling in the sand.
He wasn't saying nothing.
Nothing. And sometimes that silence.
Wow.
Is loud.
Is loud. Wow.
So loud.
I mean, I remember my mother one time said, "Wendell, come here." And I'm standing there. I know what I did wrong.
Yeah.
And so she just rolling her head, a little pink roll.
Yeah, you just stand there. You like, I'm about to get it.
To the point where when she was almost done and she then put the scarf around it. I'm like, I know my mother.
Yeah.
Once her hair's got the scarf, she going to bed. So she ain't going to whoop me.
Oh.
When she put the scarf on, I said, "You're not going to whoop me?" She said, "Mm-mm. Now go in your room."
And
I was scared.
You up.
I thought she was going to wake me up in the middle of the night.
You didn't know what in the world.
The silence was the worst.
I
whispered her,
"How would she just beat me?"
Wow.
That's wisdom, honey.
She got me.
She got you.
She got me shook.
Oh, my Lord. Mm-hmm. Wow.
She didn't say a word. Made me watch her do her thing.
But that was wisdom, though. Like you said, that was definitely wisdom. Because that did damage more than the silence.
To the point where I wanted corporal punishment.
Yeah.
I would go, let's get this over with.
But you know what? A lot of times it hurts people, you know, a lot more to not talk to them.
Yeah.
Oh, I know that's the truth.
You know, silence is a lot more effective than people really realize.
At certain times.
Because if you are not able to respond or you're not talking to them, it leaves them in so many different emotions, in so many different ways, in so many different... So that silence... Jesus.
It makes the wrong person...
Oh, my goodness.
Uncomfortable. Because you're not giving them a platform to apologize.
However, I want to flip the script a little bit.
Okay.
And I agree with this, but I just saw an analogy of a child who we feel like children... There's the good child and the bad child.
Mm-hmm.
We say the one that's always rambunctious is the child that is, you know, just off the rockers. The one that's quiet and listening, that's the one that's this respectful child.
Yeah.
But sometimes that child that's quiet is plotting stuff in their mind.
Right. Yes, because
they're being quiet and they mean as hell.
Yeah.
You know, and the one that's rambunctious, you already know what they're going to do. You already know what they're going to say. So you're,
So
you thinking, "Oh, this is my good child right here." Mm. And then later on, you be like, What in the world?
What in the world?
It's where did it come from?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
They plotted the beginning.
They plotted it, been there.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just. Listen.
That's a good analogy because I've actually had the rambunctious, the quiet, the mild, the you know, I've had all type of personalities in my house. So you know, trust me, and the ones that you know are quiet, it seems like, oh my goodness, you be like, what in the world?
Yeah, what are you trying to
do? Like they come and but how they are in your house.
Mm-hmm.
It's not how they are, going to be out in the world.
And that's the scary ones.
And exactly. Yeah, and those are the ones that are, you know, really angry.
Yeah.
They're angry and they bottle up their anger and everything. It's almost emotionless.
It's like what I wrote, relative. If they couldn't express themselves in the house.
Yeah.
They go overboard outside. They want to be heard by
everybody. Yeah.
And then most of the times they're your habitual liars.
Ooh, say that.
They want to say something.
Hey, listen, you are right and correct about that.
They just want a response. Yes. They lie about simple things not just to be heard.
Heard, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to tell something to be heard.
Yeah.
I'm quiet.
But
how do we heal these things? Well, I mean, I know you're about to wrap up.
Yeah.
But the healing, it needs to be healing in the land and in relational, is of course, and how we relate to one each other, because that's how we're going to be able to be biblical.
Yeah.
And do it effectively.
Effectively.
And not use our personal opinions, because our personal opinions, based off of, like you said, it is wrong most of the time. However, biblical, when we say biblical, it is Yahweh's way. And he shows us a more excellent way. Mm-hmm. And I remember them saying that in scripture when people were going out and they was preaching the gospel, but it was, you know, they had a little twist in there. Like, it mm-hmm. wasn't like the pure yeah, gospel all, truth.
Right.
But, because they was not with them.
Yeah.
Right.
So they had
right.
another
right.
interpretation of it.
And some people preach the gospel to have followers.
Yes.
And that was an issue. And that was becoming an issue, so that if I have followers, it wasn't for a spiritual. It was so that I can get men to help me with my, if I'm doing cattle, if I'm a fisherman, I'm going to do the gospel so I can get more fishermen, so I can get more fish, so I can pay my taxes, and da 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 da.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And what did the apostles say, though? They said they came and showed them a more excellent way.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're doing. The reason it's I was.
Yes.
That's what we're doing.
I like the
today.
Way we need the head. Take it. Take it.
We love people. We yes. Want, right. We love people, and it, everything is about relationship.
Yeah.
And it's like we have to be intentional about it, because some people do not know.
Yes, yes.
That's why the word Jesus, Father God, I should say, because many of us, we talked about this a teeny bit about relationships in mm-hmm. terms of what the father gap.
Yeah.
And the daddy issues. And
yes,
how,
we did. Yes.
We have to heal that wound.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that can happen is through Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, because he's always leading us back to
right.
the Father.
Father. Right.
Right. But yeah.
Say it. I know it's tough.
The toughest thing about when we say daddy issues, mama issues, identity.
Mm-hmm.
This is becoming new to us because of social media. When women have always had daddy issues.
Mm.
Even when daddy was there, it's called something different.
Mm.
And people forget that.
Mm.
Boys is called the Oedipus complex.
Mm.
Even when the dad is there, at a certain age, there are some daughters that have daddy issues because they think that they're better suited for dad.
What you say?
So some women, young girls that rebel against their mama in the house with dad is because that's the original daddy issue. So the term we're using now for daddy issue was used when it was daddy's there.
Wow.
But we changed it to because
the
of
the daddy absent father.
Oh, I believe it's both ways. I do. I believe the father can be in the home
and still have
or the
daddy.
Mother, and mm-hmm. it's like complete confusion.
Daddy. Right.
You know, wow. because you're but not, you're but there, but you're not really there.
Wow.
Oh, I'm talking about if the daddy is there.
I'm talking about
but at a certain
present,
point,
I should say.
The daughter is vying for more of the dad's attention.
Attention.
As she grows older and the mother goes a different way with the daughter, like she's supposed to. But it's just confusion that normal adolescents are supposed to have, a confusion when they get to a certain age. That's known.
He but just taught me something. You just pointed out something that, you pointed out something that is really, I've seen. I didn't know how
if a daughter sees a mom in her mind that is getting love and attention, but the daughter never sees what the mom does for her daddy to make him show love. All she knows, the daughter, is what she does. So she sees one side, it's monolithic. She sees one side of that relationship, and she's like, well, daddy should love me more than mommy at a certain point. And then everybody accepts the fact that they say a daughter's going to look for a man like the father.
Her daddy.
Life has literally changed.
Wow.
Because number one, relationship between man and woman, husband and wife, is not the same in the house. It's not the same.
You put an actual...
That's the parent's responsibility to make that right, because that's dysfunctional.
It makes it dysfunctional without you knowing.
There's healthy relationship that you have with you. That's very unhealthy.
Right.
Y'all know y'all saw the movie Eve's by You.
Yes.
No,
yes.
Not that kind of. I'm just talking about a daughter. In that example, the daughter, that's when she was going through her identity issues.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when she was starting to know her own and find her own, look for her own sexuality. that was eased by you. That was more of a sexuality thing. And she thought that at a certain point, she was more sexy than and why is dad always gone?
Well, she mom, wanted to, because she loved her daddy.
Right.
Well, yeah. I was saying the mom, similarities.
Why mom is dad always gone? She never thought the dad was a creeper.
She yeah. thought her she mother thought her, was the problem, right. and she wasn't right. Attractive to her father. So that's why right. he was going out.
So she decided, I'm going to be it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really pointed out some. Yeah, I didn't have an actual.
Home.
It does. It really does.
It's home.
Yeah, a lot of things starts at home.
Yeah.
That more than we realize.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the way it was broken down. Which you know, I kind of figured you know that as well, but. How it's breaking down, even our belief system starts from home. Our how we believe, you know, how we perceive, how we, you know, our standards, our everything starts from home and how we've been taught, you know, things and, you know, how we see, you know, Yahweh, how we see God, how we see Jesus, how we interpret, you know, our ministry, how we've, you know, all those things.
Yeah.
Comes from
home.
And that's why it's important that you know the word for yourself, even at home, and you teach your children the right way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's important. But like, you really.
Just like a young boy, he got his mom and two sisters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every night he sees them take a shower, take a bath, and they come out with a towel.
Yeah. Up. So how.
So when he come out the shower,
he
since a little kid, he covers up.
Who
gonna tell him?
Wow.
Until someone tell him, he gonna think that's how you come out the shower. Cover your chest on down.
Wow. And wow.
Standing up, going to the bathroom. And until someone tell him, he gonna do what he see.
Wow.
That's all of us.
Big Win, boy, you show. Listen, I enjoyed this. I've actually learned that, you know, you've shed some light on something that I've seen, and you know, definitely. Yeah. You know, I love it, man. But yeah, I enjoyed this topic, y'all. I enjoyed this topic.
I love personal Fifi face. She like, ooh, pray about this.
What?
I'm gonna pray about this right here because this subject is
no. She's been enlightened.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm not, no. That's not what. That's ooh. Where I'm not where I'm at actually. That's but why you have to. Know what's going on.
Yeah, it's I love it though.
Yeah,
you know, and I think I praise God for the you know, the incitement and, you know, insight on today, man. And you know, and I really, you know, I definitely want to encourage all the followers, everybody, go follow, like and share.
Yeah.
You know, get your family, your friends, you know, let them know, tune in Underground Gospel Radio. We're speaking facts, we're speaking truth, and we're speaking biblical, you know, so we're definitely, you know, want to definitely encourage every believer, every person that is following us, every person that has tuned in, every person that sees us or knows us. Listen, keep us lifted up in prayer, but also and also definitely tell your family and friends about what's going on in the underground, and let them know to follow, like and share as well. Download the application, the app Underground Gospel Radio on Apple and Google Play. Also follow us on all the social media, Spotify, Pandora, all the social media.
I do think we need to follow up on that conversation, seriously, about and because he touched something that I feel like in church that we need to talk about, in terms of, because of that way is how we choose spouses, because there's another element to that.
Yes.
And that just hit me while he was talking, so I just wanted to share that, like, to open up that part, because based off of how you were raised, that's how you choose your spouse.
But
that doesn't mean that's
about
the
that
right
with them guys. Really? I chose the wrong spouse for the wrong reason,
because it's wrong. And you can choose wrong. I know people, I don't care if you've been married 20-30 years,
right.
It's like that's we do it based
I
off of
you.
Wow. You know, our
I promise you.
I think that's what I think. I think that's really important topic.
Because it's
happening.
Right.
Marriage, okay, I love marriage.
Yes.
I waited later to get married, and I don't care what people think about that. Right, and we was talking about this a little bit because I knew I wasn't ready for marriage.
Right, right.
And I'm glad I waited till I'm older because now I know exactly what I want. I'm healed. There's and I know what I want and don't want.
Yeah.
And I really want the man of God in my life. You know, not who's gonna lead, who's not intimidated, who understands who he is to lead me.
Right, right.
Wow, wow.
He's gonna be intimidated. You know, even I shouldn't have to be shutting up because you're sitting up there like, no.
Even the words you just used. You just intimidated half of the black men I know.
Well, I'm not trying to intimidate. If I intimidated you, then that means you don't know who you are.
And they're not the right ones.
Because my man, he's not going to be intimidated. He's going to be like, that's right, baby. Say what you got to say.
Right, right.
And he's going to shine. We both are going to be beautifully
right.
because we're lifting each other. Right. That's real relationship. That's why I didn't want to get married to any joker. That's why I told them jokers no.
Right. Right.
Well, we're going to talk about
it. I did the opposite. See? If you listen to the next podcast, that's what
we're going
to
talk about.
He said we're going to talk about it.
Yes.
It needs to happen.
Yes. We're going to talk about it because
your marriage to a person versus your marriage to God.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Because a man be like, this is how my mama did it. But that I'm not your mama.
I know that's right. I know that's right. Yeah. We're going to talk about it. We are going to talk about it.
I got to get downtown.
I know. But
you were so right.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to talk about it.
I know people are like,
We're going to talk about it. And we're going to expound on it. And trust me, nobody don't have to wait any longer. We're going to talk about it. And we're going to bring it to the forum because I really sense that what you're bringing. You know, a lot of relationships need healing. A lot of people need healing relationally.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have gotten with the wrong person that damaged them for the.
Yes. Okay. And it's relative. That's the reason.
Yes. So we're going to talk about it and we're going to get about your face and about your ear. And y'all tune in. I'm telling you, don't want to miss it. I'm telling you, we're going to bring it back and we're going to come back with it because I think we listen, this needs to happen because I'm here for it.
Right. All right. This church to me, for any of you that don't understand, this is when I can talk and I can listen and I can learn.
Absolutely. And this is what it's going to be about. Because we're going to get up out your face and about your ear. I'm your boy, Sevelis the Artist. I'm your brother. I'm your nephew. I'm your cousin. But I ain't your daddy.
And I'm your girl, Phoebe Lovejoy.
And I'm Big Win just because.
Hey! And we're going to get up out of here. Peace!